have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good friends, Shelly Murdoch. and you are up at 6:30, you must be listening at the voice with your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, coming from New Haven, Connecticut. And this is our last podcast for the year and our last time at 10:30. And so we want you to sit back and relax and hear what the Lord will say to us tonight on this podcast. I want you, amen, to get ready, because this podcast is going to be real hot and insightful. Amen. And we're going to gain all that we can, because this is the end of the year for this podcast. We know the actual end of the year is next week, but this is the end. Amen. For me, I want you to understand tonight that God has been good. So tonight, we're going to have a discussion for an hour, and then we're going to close out in our last half hour just giving God praise and thanks of different events that went on in our personal lives and some things that went on in the national news. So we praise God tonight. Let's see who's with us. Dr. Kimmy Kim, are you on the line? I know you must be. All this good music and everything. Come on, say hi to the people.
I know she ain't disappeared.
Dr. Kimmy Kim, you can't say hi on me. Okay, I don't hear her yet. Okay. All right. Bishop-elect Richards from Upper Marlboro, are you with us tonight?
I most certainly am. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless God for this. For the last 52 weeks, we haven't been here all 52, but we've been here at least 40-something. But to God be the glory, we was here, and that's all that counts. Good evening, all. Good evening, Apostle.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Amen. Let's go down to that old Peach State and see if the Apostle Felicia Flight is with us tonight. Are you on the air tonight? Okay. It's silent in College Park tonight. All right. Let's see if that other man in the Peach Town is with us tonight. Amen. That Apostle Irvin Whitlow, are you with us tonight, my brother?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Both ends of Georgia is silent tonight. There must be a pie contest going on somewhere. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. I guess it's just me and you, Bishop.
Well, it looks like it, sir. It looks like it.
Oh.
Let me get my computer on. Oh, let me get my phone. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
You know, the Lord said one could chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 in flight, so it's going to be a good show anyway.
And we already know that part. That goes without saying. Anyway. All right. Check, see if we got anybody else on, sir.
Yes, sir.
I hear somebody in the background moving around.
No, I'm getting out of a car. That's what you hear.
See, I know I heard something.
Yes. I'm under the weather, yes, but we do have Henderson and other people on. I'm under the weather today.
Oh, my Lord. You okay, sis? Please don't tell me it's COVID. Oh, We have to pray for her, Apostle. She sounded really bad. I pray that's not COVID.
No, it's not COVID.
That's good. That's all I was concerned about. This too shall pass. She said Pastor Henderson was on, and she said there were other people on, sir.
Okay. The Lord bless you all tonight. We get ready to get going. We're going to ask Pastor Henderson to give us prayer, and then Bishop Elect, get the scripture ready.
Give me the scripture so I can have it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got to turn my computer on. I'm doing that now as we speak. Come on, baby.
All right, give us prayer, Pastor Anderson.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come to thank you and praise you and to glorify your name. We give you thanks, oh God, for another time that you've allowed us to be on this podcast. We thank you for the platform, oh God, to reach, oh God, others that will be listening. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Dr. Kim and Kim on tonight, Father God. Touch her body now, Lord, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. We rebuke cold symptoms and any other flu symptoms or any other thing that may be going on right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare healing, oh God, because your word declares it by your stripes, hallelujah, that we will heal. And so we speak healing to her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. We declare speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. Bless our home and our household. Thank you, Lord, to each one that's tuned in on tonight. Have your way, oh God, in the midst of your people. Let something be said or done, oh God, that will bring you praise and glory, that will draw somebody closer to you. And Lord, we give you the praise and glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen.
The scripture. The scripture is coming from where again, Apostle? I wasn't here last week. I was out of the country, remember?
And I can't remember the scripture. Lord have mercy.
Tell me what we were talking about.
I do know our subject. Amen.
Go ahead.
You were here, man of God, not last week. I think we talked about a week before last. Amen. Snakes, backbiters, and backstabbers.
Oh, boy. Let me think. Oh.
And we covered the rabbit on snakes the last time we were together. I don't want to talk about these backstabbers. And we have to talk about this and close this out tonight in 1 hour. Lord have mercy.
All right. The only scripture that comes to mind on backs, I don't know if you covered it in Psalms 55, or did you go elsewhere with that one?
Haven't you went elsewhere? Let me see what Psalms is saying.
Psalms 55.
It was
go
not
ahead.
My enemy that approached me.
That's the one, Psalms 55.
In the psalm, and I was wounded in the house of my friend.
Oh, that I have wings like a dove. Okay, I found it. Psalms 55. Where do you want to start, verse 6, or do you want to go?
I believe we only did verse 6 in Psalm 55. Let me hear it, I'll tell you.
Okay, this is the Amplified Classic Version. It says, and I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. Okay, I would hasten to escape and find a shelter from the stormy wind and tempest. Destroy their schemes, O Lord. Confuse their tongues. For I've forsaken. I know you're looking at the one that says, for it is not an enemy that reproached me. Let me do the King James so I can make sure I have the right scripture, because this one's very descriptive. Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get this together.
Now, what was going on? Was this the Gilly Kim? She had a sore throat.
Sound like she said she was under the weather. We've established it is not COVID. So
praise
to God
Lord,
be the glory.
We're going to pray the sunshine come over her body.
Okay. All right. So we want to go from 6 to 12. Do how far do we want? We took counsel, as it were. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to start at 12 just for the sake of time,
right,
because we're kind of. Verse 12, computer, stop acting stupid. We don't have time for you. For it was not an enemy who reproaches and taunts me. Then I might bear it. Nor is it one who has hated me, who insolently vaunts himself against me. Then I might hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We had sweet fellowship together and used to walk to the house of God in company. Let desolations and death come suddenly upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, the place of the dead. For evils are in their habitations, in their hearts, and in their innermost part. As for me, I call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Would you like me to go further? That's verse 16.
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
Now you got
all right.
The other scripture.
And the other scripture is?
I was wounded in the house of my friend.
I've got to remember where that is. Wow. Come on, Holy Spirit. Bring it to my remembrance.
I think it's Proverbs. Not Proverbs. I think it's Psalm 75.
Let's take a look. I just happen to have the King James Version sitting right yonder.
Everybody,
75.
Everybody in podcast land, TikTok land, amen. All of our social media friends, just bear with us. I know we sound rusty, but we on top of it. Hallelujah.
Yeah. No, unto God we gave thanks. That's not it. When I shall receive the congregation, judge the earth. Nope, that's not it. Okay.
While you find it, we'll get going.
You go ahead. I'll look for it.
Okay. Now, the last time that we were together, we talked about snakes. And we described for y'all several kinds of snakes. But we pulled out about three or four kinds of snakes that really relate to the enemy trying to attack in the church or in our lives. And we talked about the python spirit, which is a type of snake. And it is also compared to spiritual warfare. It is compared to a spirit that comes into your life to choke out and to devour you, not part of the way, not just to poke its things into your skin, but we discovered last time that a python takes its body and tries to squeeze you until there's no more breath or almost no more breath, and then it takes its mouth and it has the ability to open its mouth and then from your head down to your feet, it will squeeze its mouth over you until you suffocate and be no more. And that's just like the enemy. He wants to take you out. And if it's not a python, we talked about the rattlesnake. The rattlesnake likes to make a lot of noise before it attacks. It shakes its tail and trying to throw you off where he's coming from, what he's about to do, and then it strikes. Oh, my God, I know all of us done been through that one time or another where there's so much noise in our life, we don't really know which way the attack is coming from. But we know something is about to happen. And then we also talked about, amen, the round-off snake, I call it, amen, it's the sand snake, which rises up out the sand. You don't even know it's there. It rises up out the sand, and it can, when it rises up, it winds itself and jumps at you. Amen. Have you ever had some stuff in your life to just jump off? It was covered up. It looked like everything was well. And just all of a sudden, something jumped off. And you said, where in the world did that come from? How did that happen? Amen. What is going on? And so we understand, amen, that sometimes you got a winding snake. We talked about the water moccasin, how it knows how to hide in the water. Amen. Then all of a sudden, it strikes an attack. Amen. But we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Now, it ain't through nothing else. It ain't through no crystal ball. It ain't through no tarot cards. It ain't through a palm reading. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down imagination and all that. I want you to understand, amen, that there is nothing. Matter of fact, he told us that in the book of Luke, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. I tell you, we're going to come back one week and tell you the danger of dealing with scorpions. Oh, my God. That's going to be a conversation that day. We're going to tell you about the danger of dealing with scorpions. All right, but this week we're going to be dealing with backstabbers. Amen. Now, as we begin our conversation tonight, we heard the scripture that it was not an enemy. It wasn't the one that magnified itself against us. But the Bible talks about was one that we took counsel with, sat at our table, walked in counsel with, somebody that we were calling friends, and they wound up being a backstabber. Amen. Bishop Elect, did you find that other scripture yet?
Is it Proverbs 27:6? And Proverbs 20, it says, the kisses of an enemy may be profuse, but faithful are the wounds of a friend.
See?
Is that it?
Is it?
That.
Because Zechariah 13:6 has one as well.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
It says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, these with which I was wounded in the house of a friend,
good
of my
God.
Friend.
Do you hear that? Do y'all hear that? Don't everybody scream and shout at one time. I know you got happy when you heard that scripture. Amen. Now, being a backstabber, let us look that word up real quick, somebody on computer. What is a backstabber? And we're going to begin our conversation tonight.
Okay. Well, we can go by what we've learned from over the years, and ask the question, what is a backstabber? I mean, basically, we found out that it is one who actually betrays a trust, one who betrays an allegiance, a Benedict Arnold or somebody of that nature. A backstabber is one who will take, you know, they'll take credit for work they didn't do or an accomplishment that they had nothing to do with, and they'll badmouth the originator of whatever it is or was. There are about maybe 42 synonyms that you could use when you describe a backstabber. And I know we don't want to get into all 42 of them, but, you know, we could turn around just to throw words out that are that we could say a collaborating this, a collaborator, a sellout, you know, someone who's subversive, a subverter, a co-conspirator or a conspirator, you know, a plotter, a schemer, a defector, a deserter, somebody who we looked upon as a renegade, a gossiper, you know, they call informants, backstabbers, a rat, as they would say in the street. You know how they say, I smell a rat and the wind's coming from your direction. Somebody who might be a snitch or a squealer, a stool pigeon, a tail bearer, a talker, a tattler, a tail bearer, or things like that. And I'm just using those things just to give an idea of what a backstabber can be found as. And I know that all of us have had somebody that fits one of these descriptions in our lives at some point in some time. But Merriam-Webster actually says a backstabber, it's like I just said, huh? Wow. I just put that out there and didn't even realize it. A backstabber is one who betrays a trust or an allegiance. Well, my memory is better than I thought.
That's enough, because there's a whole lot of definition, but let's hold on to what we can and let's discuss. Pastor Henderson, what makes a person want to be a backstabber?
In your own words, out of your own mind, what makes a person want to be a backstabber?
Well, I think, for one, they lack integrity. They lack the understanding of spiritual principles. I think that one have things probably going on within their own selves that they're fighting for recognition, fighting for maybe there's a state of pride that may be there. There's other things, weaknesses in their carnal self or in their personhood that doesn't allow them to operate in that state of integrity that causes betrayal, mistrust, you know, and those kind of things that kind of dwell with them.
Okay. So that first word you said is that a person would be a backstabber because they don't have certain character in God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have... let's say, the right understanding, the right mindset. They're not following the principles of real friendship or of real brotherhood or sisterhood. And so they do things that are uncommon. For what gain? Somebody tell me. What is the gain of being a backstabber?
The upper hand, pretty much, looking to get the upper hand on any individual that they may be dealing with. They, you know, they're the kind of person that wants to come out on top smelling like a rose, even though underneath they're full of guile and deceit. They got dirt under their fingernails and things of that nature. That's pretty much the bottom line.
Well, you just said something there. And I'm going to pick at it for a minute like a sore, amen, and I hope I don't leave it festered. But listen,
okay.
You said like unclean fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may think that's a cute little statement, but how important, even scripturally, is unclean fingernails?
My goodness. I mean, you can look at it in so many different ways, so we'll try to narrow it down. Under your fingernails, believe it or not, people don't seem to think so. When you see somebody naturally speaking with unclean fingernails, you can see an individual, you can identify what kind of dirt they've been dealing with, you know. And a lot of times you'll get debris and substance under your fingernails. That's why it's important to naturally clean the fingernails, because a lot of what you may have handled or touched or put your hands on in this particular case, the residue could remain underneath that little tiny crevices that we don't think anything gets up under, until the point where if you don't clean it out, people look at the tips of your fingernails, just look at your hand, and they can say, ah, you need a manicure. You need, you know, I guess as a manicure, that's the one where they deal with the fingernails, you know, and they'll show you where your hands need cleaning. Residue is under there is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Who else is on this line besides Pastor Henderson and Bishop Elect? Are there any others, Bishop?
I can't tell. Kimmy Robinson knows, and I heard Deacon Suggs, who mentioned Zechariah 13, I believe it is, so... I think he's
and
going.
That was the one.
Okay.
When we talked about snakes the last time, I was telling y'all about how it said it hit the hand. I was telling y'all about the vision I had, about how the snake wrapped around my hand, but did not penetrate my hand. I want y'all to understand, like, dirty fingernails. If you go read about it, dirty fingernails is an indication of, as he said already, a dirty person, but also if they got nail growth up under there and also a fungus and all that, that's a sign that you are dealing with somebody that has not washed their hands in so long, it is now infested. And somebody said, well, how did they get this thing about nails? I want, because I'm getting ready to show you something. A backstabber is infested with dirtiness. Only a dirty person will try to undermine their own brother or sister in the Lord, or their fellow co-worker, or somebody that you hang with, somebody that you claim is like a brother or sister, a family member. You know, this is my ace boom coon, they used to say, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then you wind up being an underminer. You wind up being somebody that's trying to rise above them and doing anything you can to make sure that they don't rise like a crab in the basket.
Something to think about.
You backstabber, you. Lord have mercy. Here's a backstabber also. A person that will go and spread bad about another person and it not even be true.
That's right. That is so true.
You going to spread something that ain't, that's not even happening, so you can get ahead. So you think now, so you can get further than the other person. You want to go and tell, just to make it plain, you really want to go and tell a lie about that person trying to be a backstabber, trying to get ahead, trying to make sure they don't rise to where they need to go. I want you to know tonight, God is not pleased. Amen.
Not even close.
Somebody tonight, tell us about some Bible characters who have this backstabbing spirit.
Okay, I'll give somebody else a chance because I've got several in mind, and some are more famous than others.
Amen.
Come on, yo. Come on, yo.
Anybody Pastor Henderson, Deacon Stubb? Anybody come to mind?
Let's start with Absalom to his own father, David.
Uh-oh.
That's what Psalm 55 was all about. I mean, Absalom literally pursued to murder his own father. I mean, he turned around, he gave him everything, but Absalom was trying to kill his own father to take over a kingdom that was not supposed to be in his hand.
Uh-oh. And here's a different kind of backstabbing. We don't look at it as backstabbing, but here's a different kind. When he messed around and raped his own sister.
That's right.
He brought her in acting like he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And told his other brother, get out the room. So
sure
to
did.
Speak, I got some business I'm getting ready to take care of. And raped his sister. You old backstabber, you. And how dirty of a backstabber can you be than to rape your own sister? And a lot of people through study try to say, well, it was only his half-sister. Half-sister, quarter of a sister, one-eighth of a sister. It was his sister.
Amen.
And he raped his own sister by backstabbing. Had her thinking that he was sick and on his way out and was just trying to get her in the room by herself.
All she did was come in and showed that she cared.
Yep. And that's
now,
about-
you know what? You bring up something really interesting there. How many people, I'm talking family or those who want to call themselves family. You know, I'm talking about those, how do I say this? Okay, those individuals who are not biologically your siblings, but yet they have a closeness with you to the place and point that you trust them as if they were a sibling.
Right.
And then at some point in the course of the relationship, they become jealous of you, or they become envious of you, or they find themselves in a position where they feel like in their spirit they can't stand you. And so they turn around and start plotting against you and doing little small things to you and around you and saying little things to other people until ultimately they manipulate to the place and point where when they get the chance to go for the jugular, they go for it, and they're the reason for your demise or your ruin because you trusted them to that place and point. What do you do with an individual like that? But I know all of us have had some, I can't say all of us, I'll speak for myself. I've had individuals who pretended to be my friend, and all they were looking to do was find an opportunity to ultimately cause my demise. But I would simply say this, even though it was not an enemy that reproached me, God gave me wings like a dove. That's why I'm still flying. Now I traded in my dove wings for the wings of an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And let me tell you, Deacon Stubb, let me jump in any time now. You and Pastor Henderson, y'all jump in. I want you to understand.
I would say,
go ahead.
This is Pastor Spate. God bless you all. I would say that Judas was definitely, bless you all. I would definitely say that Judas was a backstabber
Thank
when
you.
He came to come here.
I was waiting for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. I was waiting for somebody to say that one.
Judas was a backstabber. Let's
yes,
lift
he
this
would.
One up. Peter, when
uh-huh.
he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. Some folks don't look at it that way, and I don't know why. I mean, and
right.
Jesus told them that he was going to be a backstabber.
Right.
And not only told them how long it was going to be. He said,
mm-hmm.
before the God's throne, you're going to deny me mm-hmm. twice.
said it.
You're going to be a backstabber three times before the cock can even get out of cock-a-doodle-doo.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
let's add that to...
And when the eat bacteria, Peter Shaw denied him three times, even to the point of saying, you mother this and you father that. I'm just using the word. Hallelujah.
Right.
But Peter, he went to cussing and carrying on as that Jesus, not literally, but he turned his back on him.
He did that. He did that.
He did do that.
I'll tell you honestly, and see, a lot of us, go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor, Church for turning us that way, because it is true. And let's look at this one.
Go ahead.
Paul said, let him go his own way.
Yes.
He's following what we're following right now.
He talked
now,
about
what
Mark.
Character was that?
He talked about Mark. He talked about
Thank
Mark.
You. He said, let John Mark get away from us.
That's it.
Let him go out there with his own little crazy stuff he's doing. He said, in so many words, he said, John Mark is a backstep. We can't mess with him right now. But I want to say to somebody tonight, I want to back up for a minute. I don't want to run by that too fast. Tonight, if you are a Tamar and you have been molested, raped, touched wrong, whatever, by a family member, you need to tell somebody. And if it's not a family member, you need to go and tell somebody that is trustworthy and will do something about it.
It's a sad thing.
Sometimes family is a backstabber. You tell them, Uncle Ned tried to pull my underwear down. And nobody wants to believe that Uncle Ned tried to pull your panties down. But Uncle Ned, know he wrong, keep coming around trying to see, can he catch you by yourself?
And when he does,
it's a mess.
God.
Amen. Yes. Well, go ahead.
If Uncle Ned gets caught by a family member trying to do what he really wants to do, now you want to kill Uncle Ned.
Of course.
But the little girl, the young girl, or the woman already told you there was something wrong with Uncle Ned.
With Uncle Ned. Yep.
Or the little boy.
Or the little boy. That's true.
Or the little boy.
That's
right. Or the little boy, because women do molest children also.
They do.
Well, I'm going to tell you, what movie was it? Remember the movie Antoine Fisher?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was in the foster home and
right.
the daughter of the foster mother kept doing little things to him, and then he got old enough, joined the Navy, and got some discipline, came back to try to find his actual birth mom, found his birth mom, as a matter of fact, but he had to go back to the scene of the crime where it all began when he was a little boy. Every time the mother would go out to work, she would take him down into the basement and do a number on him. And he, you know, and I recall when he was, how do you say, he came and the girl went to hug him as if everything was like, get your nasty hands off of me. He may have said it like that, but that's what it amounted to. Then the mother came out with her little mean self because she used to whoop him for no reason at all, for no reason at all. I mean, you know, we got to stop and think. People who betray your trust, and You know, we got to recognize when trust is betrayed. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I'm your friend until you prove different. And the minute you prove different with me, then, you know, the best thing for you to do is keep your distance from me. I'm not a mean person, but I can tell you like this, you will not be warmly greeted, neither will you be warmly received. I do promise you. And I'm a blunt person, too. I will tell you exactly what you did with your dirty self and tell you why I prefer you don't come up here trying to pretend like we're the best of friends. I'll treat you like a can of deadly poison. I will not be drinking from your cup anymore. That's just me.
Now you brought up a movie. You brought up a movie. It made a movie pop up in me. Anybody remember that movie, Goodfellas?
Yes, I do.
When the young boy, he said, my father would get angry and beat me for stuff I didn't even do. He said, but when I joined the gang of the guys that were in the neighborhood, he said my father would just beat me because he wanted to beat me. When you're in a household where betrayal is your family, that's a tough thing to deal with.
Oh, my God. And you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. All right, somebody, wake up.
And you know what I found out, though? A lot of times when people are quiet and reluctant to get out with people, some kind of strange something went on in their life. Most times, 9 times out of 10. And it was somebody in the family that did something to them. They don't talk much. They don't want to be touched by people all that much and all of this. And 9 times out of 10, somebody in the family did something dirty.
Uh-huh.
Somebody done fell asleep.
I'm getting ready to say, I'm trying to bypass it. I'm hoping Sister Kimmy can find who it is and mute them at least.
Yeah,
go ahead, Apostle. You would say,
yeah. We mentioned men, but there are some women also that was backstabbers.
All right, you're right. You're right.
Oh, you had
now.
I think
wait,
there
was another. There was another kind of backstabber, and she did. Her backstabbing was for and with purpose. And it fulfilled the purpose of God. And we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and talk about Jacob's mom. Think about it. She had to betray her own husband so that Jacob would receive the blessing.
Yeah.
Or she helped him betray. Put goat hair on him, made him feel hairy like Esau, put him in a position where, you know, made him this. And she made the soup, not necessarily Jacob. She made the soup.
But now that you bring that up, she did a double backstabbing. She betrayed the husband and the son that was out hunting Esau.
But now think about this. Esau was not her son. No, Esau was her son. Esau wasn't her favorite son.
Right.
And you got families nowadays that the mother will do what's needed and necessary to make sure the favorite child gets where they're supposed to be. Meanwhile, the rest of the children are pretty much left to fend for themselves. Crazy. But it is what it is.
Yeah. And that's why in any home, when the parents got their favorites, it's a mess.
Always it's is. It always will be.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to bring this into the church because backstabbing is a big problem, even in the church.
Always has been.
Somebody will try to undermine and outdo somebody just to get their position.
Sure enough. I saw, and I'm going to give you one that's it's a little up in age, but it happened way back in the, I don't know if it was the late, I think it was the late 80s. Anybody remember the Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart episodes?
Yep.
And I don't know what that was really all about. Why on earth would you go squeal on somebody and you doing the same exact thing? That baffles me. You doing the same, right? Go ahead. Go ahead.
And here's the thing, Bishop. When they squealed on Jim Baker, him and his wife had already got over that. It had happened 7 years prior to them bringing it to the light. Him and Tammy Faye were going on about their business, building Heritage USA, and that's what really started them to being backstabbers. They didn't want him to finish that project, and there has never been nothing like it ever since.
Yeah, well, it goes to show you, you can't tell everybody your secrets or your plans. You just can't share it. Some people have to sit back and watch while those who are coming to help, I mean, you know, and you want the ones who are going to come to help, not to hurt. Because some folk come, they'll pretend like they're trying to help you, and they're trying to hurt you. First chance they get, as soon as they could send you up the river, through the woods, and put you in grandma's house so they can blow the house up, they're going to get it done.
I'm going to leave that right with you. What are some episodes you've seen? Pastor Spank, you still with us? Come off the mute if you're still here.
I was going to say, I know she wasn't the one that went to sleep. Oh, Lord. It's hard to tell.
I don't. Are y'all talking about me?
We're talking to you, yes.
I got you connected.
Okay. Well, give us some episodes. Give us some episodes in the church about backstabbing, you know.
The first thing that comes to my mind is members that come against their pastor, members that go and talk behind their pastor's backs, they say lies, and even if it is something true that the pastor needs to overcome and need prayer for, instead of praying, they out there gossiping and talking behind the pastor's back, and then when they get to the church and the pastor preaching, go pastor, preach pastor, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But meanwhile, they're saying all things that they should not be saying. And it's like when the pastor's like, I know it had to be somebody because we only mention it here in our house, you know. So, yeah, people back do that against their own leaders.
You know,
and what
you say, now that you say that, the pastor that uses our church here on Sunday afternoon, he said Sunday, he was talking to his people. He said, we thank God for this blessed man of God. He said, and I don't know why it is. When I mention his name to people, to certain people in New Haven, they got negative and bad things to say about him. He said, but I ain't seen nothing but good since we've been here. And you know what scripture popped in my spirit immediately?
What's that?
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and
say all manner of evil
against you falsely, for great is your reward in heaven. Talk
Amen.
About me. I'm going old school now. Talk about me as much as you please. The more you talk, the more what? Don't act like y'all don't know the song.
I'm going to bend my knees.
If they want to. But you watch what I say. I'm prophesying now. 22 your mouth on somebody in a backstabbing, low-down way, God hears, God sees, and he calls that person to be blessed far beyond anything you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Hello, 22. Come on. Some blessings wait for me.
Well, not you by yourself, but I promise you. I mean, I turn around. I would say this, and to anybody listening, go out and try to fight the battle. Don't do the he said, she said thing, because you got to look at it in the positive as opposed to the negative. They're running your name into the ground, and they're tearing your name apart. You don't even realize they're more of a newspaper for you. They're promoting you, even if it seems negative. They are promoting you. Now they're causing others to take notice of you and pay attention to you. You just keep doing whatever it is that you're doing to the glory of God. Let them keep talking. The scripture is plain and simple when it says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Ask Haman about that. It took Esther and Mordecai to bring a crooked man to his knees, and eventually the very one who introduced the noose or the noose and lynching for whatever crimes he thought the children of Israel were committing ended up in his own noose, ended up getting lynched himself. Backstabbing does not pay, neither does crime.
Uh-oh.
Come to think of it.
Uh-oh. And we know that throughout scripture, God always punished the one that thought they were getting somebody else. When it was done in an evil conscience and in an evil way, God always would get that person back and cause something that they couldn't even imagine to happen to that person.
That's right. That is right. I mean, you go through, and especially in the New Testament, you see a lot of it. Lot of it. But, you know, and I'm bringing that particular scripture up because, you know, there are variations of backstabbing, and people tend to think that, you know, it's always one way. No, it's not one way. It's multiple ways. You got to remember, one of the synonyms we said was a co-conspirator, a manipulator, somebody who would, you know, and now we have a new word in our day and age that we use. We don't call them an enemy. We call them a frenemy. And that frenemy is the individual who is, they're close by you. They pretty much know every move you get ready to make because you shared it with them. You spoke it to them. And they knew exactly what you were going to do. And they know if you're going left, then they need to go to the far left to make sure the trap is set before you get there. But a lot of us don't pay attention to that.
That's how it was so easy for Judas to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Because if you go back and read, the soldiers didn't even know who they were looking for.
Right.
Sure didn't. They didn't. He had to go up there.
He said, give me 30 pieces of silver. I'll show you who you're looking for.
Yep.
Yeah, he sure did. And what happened after that? He said, the one whom I go up and give a kiss to, that's the man you're looking for. And then he walks up and got the gall to say, Master.
But if you read some translations, besides the King James Version, after he did what he did and tried to take the money back, demonic attack came over him, and Judas, somewhat, you might well call it, he lost his mind. That's why he wound up hanging.
Right.
He did. He certainly did. He went crazy. He went absolute ballistic.
You might backstab, but it don't pay for you at the end.
No, it don't. No, it does not. No, it does not. I mean, you got the upper hand now, but it won't be long.
And God knows don't mess around with somebody that's a praying person. Oh, somebody that got a real prayer life, you better leave that alone.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Apostle, it's 11:30, just so you know. It's 11:30, 11:31 to be exact. Now, I thought you wanted to know about the last half hour.
We never
that
even
quick.
Got a chance to talk about it. Well, all right. We're going to allow everybody a few minutes to come, and this is our last podcast. Amen. I want everybody to bring up an event or give a quick testimony of something the Lord did this year, and we're going to end in a celebration of 2021. Amen. Sorry, all our listeners, that we did not get a chance to finish our discussion, but time went by so fast. Alfred tapped me on the shoulder and said, they've been so naughty. We cannot finish this discussion. We must celebrate the year and get ready to go off. Amen. Who want to start our discussion tonight? Something God did for you this year, an event. Amen. Please, the floor is open.
Well, I might start this one off. When I was in the nursing facility, and I was waiting for an apartment, and they just kept. I've been waiting for 2.5 years for an apartment to get out of there, and finally, I got one. So I thank God for that.
Amen.
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 He's a great God. He's a
Amen.
That's awesome. Congratulations,
Amen.
My brother. So when is dinner for the celebration?
Well,
don't get quiet. Y'all notice how he got quiet after I said, when is the celebration? Say, you will not be coming over here messing up my house.
All right.
Well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to thank God for health.
There she is. Mm-hmm.
And good friends, I've been blessed that I haven't had any family members to pass this year, and I'm just grateful.
All right, is that Mrs. Chanel?
That's who
yes,
it is.
All right, I didn't know you were here. I would have called you.
I just got on.
Okay. Amen. Thank God for you. And it is a blessing that the family circle has not been broken. You are favored of God, because so many is gone from here this year, but God favored your family. Thank God. Thank God. Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Amen.
Anybody else?
I thank God for favoring my family as well. No one has gone, and I bless and praise God. And I want to thank God because this year my finances was touched. But I thank God because he showed me what he is true. We sing the song, we say it, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. And I did not go without a meal. Unless I chose to, because I was consecrated before the Lord, my rent was paid on time. Every bill was paid. Everything I had to do was met. I still have some debt, but God gave me favor. When they were saying different things, I had to pay at least $400. God turned the $400 down to $23, things like that. So really, I'm not one to talk about finances. But 2021 was a truly a testing time for my finances. There was many times after I got my check, you know, once a month, that I would have $4.79. but everything that I had to do, my responsibilities, and first my tithing unto the Lord. I did not pay my tithes. I brung my tithes. He tells us to bring our tithes. But no matter what, I made a dedication, a commitment to God that no matter what, his tithe was coming out first. And I have no doubt in my mind, amen, that it works. And like I said, I could have $4.79 left. I get my check on the 3rd, on the 6th. I got $4.79 many times this year, and that $4.79 turned into people just sending in blessings to me personally, people sending in blessings to the ministry personally. So God showed himself mighty and strong, and he really showed me that crazy faith. I didn't worry. I didn't cry. I may have mentioned it, but I didn't worry. I didn't cry. I would tell people, no, I can't do this. I can't do that. Can't do it this time. Maybe another time. But I and my home and my household never went lacking.
Amen.
And every bill that had to be paid was paid on time.
Amen.
Amen.
Baptist, you still with us? All right. I guess that might have been.
Go ahead.
Amen. I want to thank and praise God for just how he has kept us, amen, another year, amen, through this COVID, you know, and kept our families safe, and how he's just been a provider, how he's been a keeper, you know, keeping us in good health. The testimony of just taking us through our challenges and bringing us out victoriously. Just thanking God for the connections that he has allowed us to connect with, and thank and praise God for each one of you on the line. We just give God praise for everything that he's done and doing, for just growing us up in our faith, you know, taking us through and showing us ourselves and taking us higher spiritually. Just being a keeper. But truly, God is a keeper, you know, keeping our minds, keeping our spirits, keeping our finances, keeping our lives, keeping our loved ones. Truly, he has shown himself to be strong in our lives. He is a great and a mighty God. He is a keeper, and he is a miracle worker. And so I thank and praise God for everything that he has done, brought us to this moment, even right now. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And I just thank and I praise God. I thank God for knowing who he is. Thank and praise him for being the reason for this season that we're celebrating. Hallelujah. Just for knowing him and having a desire to want to serve him. Because everyone don't have a desire to want to live for him. Everyone don't have a desire to want to serve him. And so I praise God for the desire and the choice, hallelujah, each and every day to want to serve him, to want to live for him. And that's truly a blessing. And I just praise God for being there. God is faithful that promise, faithful to his word. He said he'll never leave us, never forsake us, for he is a God that is with us. And I just praise God for just being who he is. He alone is worthy of the praise for everything he's done, everything he's doing, and everything he shall do, but simply because he's God. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did we miss anyone? Amen.
No.
Can you give us, as low as your voice is, just give us a little bit of something, if you can. All right, that sounds real good. Hallelujah. Amen. and he did that too? Oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We know that her voice is out. Amen. I thought she might try to give a little bit of something, but we know God's been good to her. Now, y'all might think I'm corny. But, you know, my mind is still saying, I thank God for setting Bill Cosby free.
Amen.
And somebody might not like my statement, but I'm going to tell you why. A black man who has made it as far as educationally as he has.
Mm-hmm.
Not with a doctor's degree, but if I ain't mistaken, Bill got 2 or 3 doctor degrees. He was on Temple's board of trustees. He was on Spelman Board of Trustees. He was, I mean, owned Coca-Cola. He owned this, owned that. And then all this mess didn't come up until they found out he had enough money to buy NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all can feel about it how you want. But they were saying with all this mess about him, how dare a black man think he going to have that much power?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand they were trying to tell us through Bill Cosby that y'all will never rise to have that kind of power, strength, and control. And I said it over and over. The man was not guilty. But I will tell you this. They had one woman up there, 70 years old, talking about he pinched my behind. If she can remember me a bitch, she better thank God. I'm not saying that he should be loose to whatever he wants to people sexually, but some of that stuff that they were trying to throw at him was just ridiculous. And when you think about back in the 50s and 60s, because that's where she had to come from, back in the 50s and 60s, they walked in a party, smacked each other on the hind part, pissed each other on the hind part. Hey, baby, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing good, and kept going.
Nowadays,
if she remember being pissed, man, she got a good mind.
I'm telling you.
But really, that whole thing was about him being a man, a black man.
I have to ask a question. Was she at least good looking? I mean, I would like to believe Bill Cosby would pinch somebody that's got some. Got some good looks at themselves if he's going to pinch anybody.
Yeah, I feel pretty good then. She was a decent-looking, mature woman.
Uh-huh.
So she might have been a fox back in the day. But, I mean, the thing about it is, you ain't said nothing in almost, I'll say, 35, 40 years. Why are you saying something now?
You know why? Because somebody offered her money. Somebody offered to pay her.
She wasn't getting no money. Camille took care of that. When they started the case, she told Bill, write all the money over to me.
That's what
they
she did.
She said, if they think they're going to get paid for something way back when, she said, write the money over to me. They can't get it done.
Showcase.
Smart woman, but I thank God. And another reason I thank God, the man was 81 years in prison blind.
Mm-hmm.
His friend, they woke him up to walk down the hall. He fell on his knees trying to walk down the hall because they didn't give him nobody to walk with.
Wow. Something to think about. Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I'm just saying thank God for his freedom. Thank God for him being able to return back home to his family. And, you know, he's been quiet. He's been quiet, and I don't blame him for being quiet. Maybe in due time he'll come up with something else, but amen, but he's home, and that's the good thing. And God has been good to me in this year. I'm telling you, he's done some wonderful things. I'm not going to try to tell it all tonight. But he's blessed me, kept me, and here I am, still giving him the glory and giving him the praise.
Amen.
Concerning this year,
who was that? No, not yet. And there is much for me to be thankful for. The very first thing, many of you may have recalled, January of this year, COVID-19 entered this house unexpectedly. And for anybody that's dealt with COVID-19, you know, they said that if you had diabetes or some type of underlying symptoms, your chances of survival were cut in half. But to God be the glory, not only did we survive, we thrived in the process. God yet opened doors and made ways. We saw progress from the church's standpoint, whereas we were having services earlier in the year, first in my office, and then we switched over a little later to our theater room. And then we went from the theater room to our open area in the downstairs there, which was a lot larger. And it wasn't until October of this year that we actually went to a church building. And we didn't just go to anybody's church building. We went to a building that gave us the best opportunity to be able to hold service and not break the pocket of the church. Not that I was worried about that, because God said he would supply our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he did that. He did exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. We ended up renting banquet hall. We ended up renting a banquet hall of a church. And they were only charging us $100 per service. So if we decide to have five services that month, it was $500. If we had four services, which was the standard, we were only paying $400. But I don't want it to be about the money. I want it to be about the provisions that God has given and has provided for us as a church. Mm-hmm. God has blessed us to gain another minister in Dr. Eunice Booker, who has for the last month carried the Bible study while I went out and took care of some other things. I thank God for her. She's becoming my right hand in ministry, and it's just a blessing to have her. And we're still looking for pieces, praise and worship team, musicians and things of that nature. And I do believe in 2022 we're going to have all those pieces that we have need of. And God's going to make a way and put everything in its proper perspective. But if I could focus on one thing, I would simply say the one thing I can focus on is the very fact that God has been who he says he is the whole time straight through. He's reliable, dependable, undeniable, and so many other synonyms that I could possibly come up with. He's just done everything that I could. I mean, 2021 hasn't been the most challenging year, although it's had its challenges. It was not the most challenging year, but yet it became a year of an eye-opener. I shared this on the prayer line, I believe it was today, and I'm going to close with this. For 2022, God's focus set my focus in another direction. We, as many of you know, went on a vacation to Aruba, and when we left here, it was a beautiful experience leaving. We went first class, the whole 20 yards, and I'm going to let you all in a little secret. I might as well tell you this right now. And I'm not going to mention the airlines, United, and I didn't say any airlines, did I? Anyway, how is it that in first class, business class, premier class, these people will serve a full meal to first class, business class on a trip that's 4 hours or more, and then they'll hand the rest of the people peanuts and soda? Kind of madness is that? You know, some of these airlines should be ashamed of themselves, but I'm going to leave it like it is because, I mean, it is what it is, you know. But I'm sharing that with you because, I mean, I got to laugh about it now. It wasn't funny when it was happening, though. Anyway, the bottom line was on our way back from Aruba, you know, we were processing going through. We went to get our COVID testing so that we could, have our paperwork to leave the country. And we're in line, and it's cloudy out there. It was breezy all week long in Aruba, and off and on it would rain. Sometimes it would rain, and the sun was out. Well, this particular day was kind of unusual, and I'm sharing this with you because there is a moral to this whole entire story. We get to the place where we're going to do our testing, and everything's fine. We get right up to the front door, the next ones to go through the door, and an outright downpour just burst, just came out of nowhere. I mean, a downpour to the place where, you know, and for you guys that carry wallets, when your wallet is soaked, you know you've been in a downpour. That makes sense to anybody? I'm sharing this with you because, well, let me move on because there's a couple other pieces that need to go in there to get to my point. All right, so after that was all over, we took our little soaked selves back to the room, changed clothes, and came down and enjoyed whatever hours we had left before it was time to leave. Got there, had to go through customs for Aruba and then customs for the United States. Customs for Aruba and the TSA for Aruba was a piece of cake, right through, no problem. We just processed right through. When we got to the U.S. customs side, that was the longest and most disheartening situation we had seen in a long time. We must have spent at least 2.5 hours in line just trying to zigzag, you know, to get through the part where we could even get up to where they – all they were going to do is take your picture, make sure that you had nothing to declare in fruits, vegetables, animals, the usual stuff TSA does. And it took them all day. The bad part was that they had 7 booths or 8 booths, and 3 of the booths had nobody in them. So, hey, that was what it was. All the time, the airline sent us a message. The first message they sent was your flight was behind by an hour. Then the next message I got while in line, the flight was behind by 5 hours. So wait a minute, we're not leaving until 10 o'clock at night. These people don't fly and don't send planes out at night. I'm just sorry, they just don't do it. By the time we got to the gate that we were supposed to be boarding in, I got a message that the flight had been canceled. Okay, so now we have to figure out how we're going to get home. Come to find out, there was only one flight that was leaving Aruba before sundown, and it was going to Newark, New Jersey. We took that flight to Newark, New Jersey. Now, my wife and I paid for Premier Access. That's the one where you get, you know, where they feed you and stuff like that. Pay attention to what I'm about to say here. Well, they only had one seat left in Premier Access. So I told my wife, you take that seat. I go to economy. I went to economy, which is only from where she was sitting. I might have been 7 rows behind her, but I could clearly see. I watched somebody else take my dinner. No, let me stop. That ain't true. Anyway, the bottom line is basically I'm sitting there watching these people serve dinner to first class. And then they had nerve to say, what would you like to drink? We have Coke, Pepsi, ginger ale, and they went down the list. I said, just give me a Diet Coke. And they handed me these animal crackers. That's what I call them. I don't know what they were. But they had this bland, cheesy taste to them. I said, this is pitiful. I paid. Now, I'm going to expose something. This airline that I didn't mention, United, the airline that I didn't mention charged us $1,075 for a ticket round trip to Aruba. And then got the nerve to hand me some doggone peanuts and a soda on the way home. Y'all going to pay me. Y'all going to give me some of my money back. That was the most expensive peanuts and soda I ever had. I promise you. Don't laugh at me because y'all know I ain't got good sense. Anyway, moving right along. We got to Newark, and then, you know, come to find out that there was no connecting flight until that morning. So what we did was we decided to go try to rent a car. I called a car service that would drive us down into the Maryland area where we live. This hamster got on the phone and had the nerve to say it would cost us $1,000 and something for this car service to take us from Newark, New Jersey to Maryland, which it was a 3.5-hour ride. I'm not paying you no $1,000 for no 3.5-hour ride. $300 was all I was looking for. It's a one way, okay? And $300 plus tolls, that's what it should have been. But Greedo, that's his new name. I can't remember the name of his company, otherwise I would expose them too. But I call him Greedo. That's their new name, their mafia name, Greedo. No, I'm not disrespecting the mafia. I'm saying Greedo. But Greedo, I told Greedo to go away, and we decided to take the train. So here's where the story, and this is what I'm thankful for. We went to the train station, got an Uber, went to the train station, got inside the train station, tried to look up on the board to see what time our train was scheduled to take off. We already knew it was taking off at 3:13 in the morning, but we needed to know what track number. Well, we get inside, and we discovered that it's not on the board yet because it was kind of early. It was like 9:30, quarter to 10 at night, and our train wasn't taking off for at least another 5 hours, 5.5 hours. So we went in to go sit down and wait for our train, only to find out that they had closed down the section where you were able, where you would be able to sit. So the seats that we ended up having was near the gate where you could sit in an actual seat, but we had to sit on our suitcases. Here's the observation, and this is where God kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I know I'm taking a long time to tell the story. I'm going to try to make it just a touch quicker from this point. There had to have been at least 30 or 40 homeless people in this building, in this section of the Newark train station. People that had nowhere to go, seemingly like life had kind of given them the short end of the stick, were laid out in the hallway up in corners trying to get a night's rest. I saw a family, a mother, a daughter, and three children, all, and I mean, it was heart-wrenching just to see this. Folk trying to figure out what they're going to eat because there was nothing open. But, and I do applaud the transit police there at the station in New Jersey. I don't even know if any of them are listening to this show, but if you are, ma'am, sir, I applaud you because they didn't kick not one of them out. They allowed them to sleep in those areas. As long as they weren't bothering anybody, it was okay because, you know, it was after business hours and they weren't hurting anything. But, you know, we waited, and I watched these people, just one guy, and I don't think I told this story, but I'm going to tell this one, and I'm going to end it right here or close to it. This is my version of them getting ready to close, y'all, so stay with me. Anyway, this one particular guy turned around. There was another guy that was asleep, and he had a McDonald's lunch bag and part of what looked like an iced tea left over, but he had fallen asleep. This guy came, picked up his lunch bag, and by this time, my wife and I were in the middle of the hallway there. You know where you go to the different trains, that hallway? You know, same way. Union Station in New Haven is, I think, laid out the same way almost. And he picked it up and dropped the lunch bag just right behind my wife. I said, dude, I don't know what this clown was thinking, because if the guy had woken up and saw his lunch bag behind my wife, the first thing this guy's going to do is come over here and start some trouble. I said, man, leave that man's lunch alone. He walks away. I take the lunch bag, put it back over there, and then that's when we went and got our seat or took our suitcases up to where they would ordinarily sit. I watched this guy and some other woman, two other people, and we found out later that the guy couldn't talk. He had no, he could, when I say he couldn't talk, he could only make noise. Because he came up to the police officer, you know, just making noise. And the police officer just calmly told him to go over there and, you know, and lay down. And, you know, he didn't go lay down, but he did leave the officer's face. But the thing about it, the lesson, we ought to just count our blessings and name them one by one. We ought to learn how to thank God for what we got. We've got to stop being so complaining about little menial things. There are certain things that we cry about that we ought to just shut up about. There are people that are worse off than we are. We got to learn how to be grateful. And so in this, for 2022, I'm going to look to be more of a blessing as much as I can, and opportunities, and not for people that can pay me back, but I'm looking for people that can't and don't have the ability to pay me back. Those are the people I'll be looking for in the year coming, because I noticed, and as good as that mother and that daughter and those three kids, I know they did not want to be in that train station trying to stay warm, and it was about maybe 40-something degrees outside, but cold enough to be chilly. And the baby woke up, started crying. I mean, oh, my God, it was just gut-wrenching just to watch for that three-and-a-half-hour stint. The point and purpose of this whole thing that I'm sharing with you is as I look over 2021, God truly has blessed me. I've got not one thing to complain about. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I really be? I'm learning to just accept that which is what I need to accept and change that which God gives me the ability to change. But after all is said and done, let God be glorified, every demon be terrorized, and the name of Jesus be lifted high. I'm going to yield at this point. I know it's your show, Apostle Smith, but the truth of the matter is we've got to be more cognizant of that that's around us. We say we love the Lord. He heard our cry. And I did share this with you this in the prayer line, and I got to do this one last thing. I am going to close on this one, Apostle. I can't think of the preacher's name, but while I was in Aruba, I was watching this show. And the preacher made mention of the fact of how lax and how comfortable and how sedated we as believers and churches at large have become. He said these words, and I quote, "When Paul ran a revival, riots broke out. Today, when we run a revival, we go out and have tea." Somebody tell me what's wrong with that picture. I'm done.
All right.
What's wrong with that picture?
I hope y'all caught that. We're doing more socializing than winning souls. I want us to keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Well, we thank God for all of you. And as I often say, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God has great things in store for you. I want to say to you this week, Merry Christmas and a great, prosperous, happy New Year. Kimmy Kim, make it rock, make it roll, and drop the track.
She may have been the one to fall asleep.
Yeah. Fell asleep.
Ha ha ha.